up, everybody? I'm Scythe.
I'm Gina.
And welcome to another episode of the Interracial Odd Couple Podcast, available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Hopefully everybody is staying what?
High and right.
And positive vibes as always.
Always.
How's everything been going, honey? What's been going on with you here recently?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. I'm doing my normal. Every day taking care of Poppy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got put on the spot, I guess, which I knew this was coming anyways, and I still don't fucking remember. I don't know. Do you remember my week?
It's been a blur for everyone, I think.
What?
It's just been a weird year. Everything has been a blur.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think so much has gone on, I just don't even remember what happened. I rolled with it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people feel that way at this point right now. There's so much shit going on. I can't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday.
Right?
You know.
Wow. I don't know.
Yeah. But you've been busy this week.
I guess.
You have been busy.
I've gotten a lot of naps in.
Well, that kind of makes it, kind of takes away from the point of being busy.
I know, no. But I've been wore out. Because uh-huh. Being busy, I guess.
Yeah. Everybody keeping you busy.
They have been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have been. Everybody.
That's because you're in demand, woman.
I want to quit. I'm in demand. I want to quit.
It is what it is, though.
It is.
It is what it is.
That is.
Well, I know when we started recording our last week's episode, episode 27,
mm-hmm.
We ended up coming across the subject of how do you know you're with the wrong one?
Right.
And you took over the whole episode.
Well, and then I was like, well, you were asking me the questions.
Yeah, and then I was like, you know what, this might end up being a three-part series
mm-hmm.
of how or when do you know you're with the wrong person.
Right.
And certainly enough, when it comes to young people especially coming back, you know, just to kind of rewind on some of the things that you talked about on last week's episode of, you know, being young.
My young
being,
self.
Yeah, being 18 with your first kid and
I know.
And how things were challenging from then on.
You're right. I mean, it's hard being young because, you know, how I fucked up was I was trying to make somebody else jealous. There I go, fucking up. See? Yeah, being dumb.
Well, I call it being young and inexperienced.
Yep.
That's definitely what it is. It is dumb. You do a lot of dumb shit when you're young. You do a lot of, especially if you're a man, you dumb until you're 30.
Yeah.
And even then, it still might be residual going into your 30s for a little bit. But I always say your 20s are for fucking up.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
Then that light bulb and doesn't
ghost,
come on.
And ghost, you're not going to lick your nuts in the background. We're not doing that.
Like that. Not today.
But I always talk about how your 20s are for fucking up.
Yeah. The light bulb don't come off until probably 30, 35.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
That's what that's for.
Yeah, common sense.
Damn. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. But you ended off on the end of last week's episode saying in the beginning it was a mess between you and I. So before we get to that, let me do a little bit of backstory on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the ages of 14 to 20, I was in the Kingdom Hall of Jehovah's Witnesses. I was a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't turn out so well for me because the older I've gotten, I kind of was thinking on my own and had questions that weren't getting answered. And one of the most pivotal points of what really broke me away from it is I was going through a bout of depression real bad. And I went to the church elders for help. And all I got was jokes and laughs. So what I ended up doing was making up a whole bunch of lies to get disfellowshipped. I made up a whole bunch of stuff just to get disfellowshipped, to get out of there. And this is our podcast. I'm going to just crack some jokes in between all of this stuff, too. If a religion has to tell you they're not a cult, more than likely... They might be a cult. And a cult doesn't necessarily carry a negative connotation like a lot of people think it does. Cult, sect, whatever you want to call it. So I come out of that environment not so much I was sheltered, but I wasn't sheltered because I was still a young man doing dumb shit. I was just good at hiding a lot of it. The Bible thumpers would call it living a double life. Oh, dear. When really I was just living life and trying to figure shit out. Mm-hmm. And so, but anyway, I went through that bout of depression so bad to the point that, and let me back it up even a little bit more. The reason why I ended up joining that religion was to keep my mother happy, because me and her have always kind of had a rocky relationship. And unfortunately, we still have a rocky relationship to this day. I mean, we haven't spoken a handful of words to each other in a decade, if that gives you guys an idea. And the reason why we haven't been able to speak to each other is because of her religious beliefs that she continues to live with. If somebody disfellowshipped or leaves as a member of the congregation or the religion, you're not allowed to speak to them, even if they are your own flesh and blood or your firstborn like I am. So automatically going into the world as a 20-year-old, 21-year-old young man, I was way more fucked up than I thought I was mentally about just my perspective on life and my perspective on things, because I figured I had it all figured out like all young people do. I got the hell up out of that because that's what I needed for myself, and went out into the world with basically no life skills, just knowing how to be a good church member, so to speak. So, of course, there's been a lot of girls in the past. That's how it goes when you're trying to figure out your way through life. They always say the old, well, they coined the old phrase, you got to go through a bunch of bad ones to know which ones are good or which one's the good one. Nah, that don't work. Save yourself the irony and the agony. If you already have any intuitions about things that doesn't come across like it should, and the way you feel like it should, get out before it's too late. Don't let it go on too long. Don't let it fester on too long. So to fast forward a little bit, I ended up meeting my ex-wife. And kind of like you, when you said on last week's episode, mm-hmm. everything was good in the beginning. Yes, caught that new car smell. Right. Everything seemed good at first.
Could last anywhere from 6 months to 2 years.
Yeah. And it was pretty much 2 years on the dot. But but what ended up happening, and this is hindsight 2020, of course, in the midst of all that, and even in between meeting my ex-wife and after meeting my ex-wife for a little while, I caught on to certain patterns about myself. And what I realized was, based off of the rocky and messed up relationship I've had with my mother and all the negative things that she used to say about me and how I wasn't going to be able to achieve this and do this, you really want to do that with your life and stuff like that, I carried that over into my adulthood as a young man, and I didn't realize that I did, of just feeling like I wasn't going to amount to a whole lot, I wasn't going to be good enough when it come to a lot of things, that I wasn't going to be able to have a voice outside of church. You know, all these different things that were just permeating in me that I didn't really take into consideration because I was just trying to figure myself out in the first place as a young man in life. And so what ended up happening, the pattern that I picked up on, was I always seemed to attract women who had no self-worth, low self-esteem. The reason why that kept happening is because sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you got to look in the mirror and realize, oh, that's why I keep attracting these certain types of personalities and individuals. It's because I also had no self-worth and had low self-esteem. You attract what you attract by who you are, not what you portray yourself to be. Now, going back into, I met my ex-wife. The first 2 years was great. She ended up being pregnant. And I already had questions about that even then at the time, because we were already, it was already starting to become a bad relationship between her and I, because, and I'm just only going to speak for myself, you know, as a man, period. I was fucked up. I didn't know a lot of things that I needed to know. Now, granted, yes, I felt like I was a pretty good young man at the same time, all things considered, and where I could have ended up and what I could have ended up doing with myself. But at the time, yeah, I was all fucked up and trying to figure shit out. And like, why is, you know, I don't have a relationship with my family like that anymore. Nobody even understand. Who am I going to talk to about even living this type of lifestyle and in this particular situation where you can't even explain it to your wife at the time for anybody to understand it? It's hard for anybody to understand that. Mm-hmm. And so I always walked around with this anger and this chip on my shoulder just because of that. So she ends up pregnant. We have a son. And my whole world changed. I was completely excited. I wasn't depressed anymore. I was like trying to be dad of the fucking century. You know, I had my cape on every day. Like there wasn't a day that went by. I was every day. He was with me every single day. Hell, his first words was daddy, you know. And so fast forwarding through that, as a lot of people know that are in relationships or have had previous relationships, having a child doesn't change the atmosphere if things are bad between you and your spouse. Mm-hmm. Children don't change anything. And growing up in the situations that I grew up in my family's house, I just knew to myself when it got to a point where it was so bad, we were just really, really bad for each other. When it got so bad to the point that I got to thinking like, there's no way in hell I'm going to live in misery like my parents for the sake of the kids. I'm not going to. I can't do that. I've watched that happen. I grew up in that environment. I grew up in that atmosphere, and I wasn't going to do it.
I think that was, I think that's the stigma that they've implanted in us, that we have to
stay together for the sake of the children and
just, you know, work it out and, you know, just keep it going. And it'll, you know, I don't know if they think it's going to work itself out or I don't know if you guys will magically just poof one day.
Yeah.
And be friendly. Mm-hmm. No, because it does start out like that. It just start out blissfully and then it gets to, you know, moments of silence or, you know, just off days. And then it gets to, you know, nobody, I don't know, wanting to do anything with each other. And then the arguments start. And then the arguments get worse. And then that's where the physical comes in sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes not, but most of the time.
Yeah.
Because it will get that far.
And unfortunately, sometimes that does happen. Mm-hmm. And it's happened between me and my ex-wife.
But once it gets it wasn't to that nothing stage,
abusive, but it was times where there was pushing and shoving and grabbing and screaming, and yep, it just got really, really bad between us. It got really, really bad.
That's what I say. Once it gets to that stage, you have to be adults about it, and you know, figure out what's best. Mm-hmm. And if there's children involved, figure out what's best for those children. So this stops.
Right.
This repeat habit.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be happening. That way, maybe people will start cherishing marriages again.
Yeah. That's a good point. But yeah, I mean, it got really bad between us. Like, I just didn't see a lasting solution to our marriage. Mm-hmm. And that's why I came up with the conclusion of, you know, this has to be over. Like, I feel like it'll be better for our son if we were separated and not together for the betterment of him, instead of being in this environment that I know isn't going to change, that I knew wasn't going to change overnight, that I knew was already off to a bad start. And yes, me being a young man and doing dumb shit made it worse. Mm-hmm. It definitely made it worse. Mm-hmm. Of course, she'll swear up and down that I cheated on her, which I physically didn't cheat on her, but emotionally, and we talked about that stuff mm-hmm. before. I've had girlfriends, but friends that were women that I were confiding in and talking to, because I didn't think it was a big deal as a young man at the time.
Right.
But it was. Mm-hmm. And that didn't help matters at all. So it painted me to look a certain way, and that's my own fault. It mm-hmm. is what it is. Still doesn't change the fact that I'm a father to this kid.
Right.
So during the divorce proceedings, and for some of you fathers out there that might be listening to this episode, or mothers, during the divorce proceedings, I knew at a certain point, once these words were uttered to me on the phone, that for some reason I knew I wasn't going to be in my son's life the way I should be, when the divorce wasn't even finalized yet, and your spouse is saying, just give up your parental rights, and then you could just go off and do whatever you want to do in life. Hearing that fucked me up. So I'm like, well, wait a minute. No, this is not what we discussed when it comes to us, you know, just being separated and taking care of our son. That's not what we talked about. That's definitely not on my mind. Why would I do that? And so fast forwarding even from then, I ended up in a really, really deep state of depression because I had no one else to turn to. I had no one to talk to. I had no one to explain these feelings to, at least on a level that I felt like somebody could understand. But fortunately for me, I've had close friends that are still my close friends throughout the years that understand, that have always had my back, mm-hmm. and always appreciated me, loved me, and cared about me. And some of them are deceased now, but they were there for me. They knew the type of person I was, and they knew who I was trying to be and who I was trying to grow up to be. Just trying to grow up, for one. Just trying to grow up. But, unfortunately, I haven't spoke to my son since 2010. So, any parents out there, fathers out there, mothers out there, don't feel like you're alone when you have to live with that type of pain. When part of it, you may feel like you are to blame for it, and maybe you are, and that's still okay. But that's something tough that you have to live with. That's something tough that a lot of us, unfortunately, in this world have to live with, is the fact that not only have I not had a relationship with my mother for over a decade, I haven't had one with my son either.
Mm-hmm. Makes it very sad.
And my life was so messed up, and I was in so many just bad predicaments. I kept putting myself in bad situation after bad situation, bad relationship after bad relationship, attracting just negativity, just a lot of negativity. And so, basically, I got to the point where I just gave up. I gave up on life. I gave up on everything. I was like, I just knew. Even then, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this woman does not want you involved in your child's life, and you didn't do enough to make sure you could be involved in your child's life. Even though I didn't have the information that I needed to make sure that I would be, it's still no excuse for the fact that we don't have a relationship with each other. It's just not. I take self-accountability for a lot of the things that happened in my past. There's no reason not to. I can point the fingers all day long, but I could have did all kinds of things differently. Now, do I walk around with blame and guilt? To an extent, but at the same time, I had to man up and figure things out. Continue to grow up. Continue to figure things out. And I got to the point where I gave up. I just gave up on everything. I just didn't feel like anybody would understand. I didn't see the things that some other people saw in me. I just didn't see any of it. I didn't see any of it. Despite everything that I was doing over the years, despite the things I still do, you know, with me, with my pursuit of music and doing other stuff, like, I just didn't feel like any of it was going to add up. Just even hearing those words that rang from my mother talking about, is music something that you really want to do for the rest of your life? Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not too bad at it.
Yeah, you're not.
So basically, I was at a crossroads in my life before I met Gina, to where I was just going to fade off into oblivion. And basically, I was just at the point like, you know what? I don't see myself being alive a whole lot longer. I was in that dark of a place. I was in that dark of a place. And of course, you know, I didn't care the feelings I was hurting, even when it came to other women, whether I was with the right or wrong ones, which they were all wrong, obviously. You know, I didn't care whose feelings I hurt, because my feelings in my heart was so fucking damaged and so broken, I didn't give a shit about other people's feelings. And that's another knock against me, too, like I've talked about, self-accountability. Mm-hmm. I didn't care. Why should I care? I can't talk to you about my feelings, and ain't no way you even gonna understand my feelings. And all I know how to do every once in a while, if you want to keep poking and prodding at it, is I'm just gonna explode, and it's gonna sound fucking nuts. It's gonna sound crazy. But even at, there was times, even when I've tried to explain what was going on with me or try to talk about it, I got to the point of just frustration where, you know what, all it's doing is frustrating everybody. I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm just going to leave this whole subject alone. I'm not going to even get into it. And it's hard for somebody to sit back and try to understand that bullshit. Hell, I still live with it to this day, and I still don't understand half of it to this day. But that's just something that I've had to be strong about and man up about and live with. The mistakes you make in your past are the mistakes you make in your past. That's the past. You got to move on. At some point, either you're going to move on or you're going to die. And so, it took me a long time to realize that. I was in my 30s when I started figuring that out. But I was in such a dark place at that particular time in my life that I didn't care about the feelings I was hurting. I didn't care who I, you know, I just didn't give a fuck. Because I didn't give a fuck about myself. So why would I give a fuck about other people? I just did not care. Was not looking for a relationship. I told myself I will never be in another serious relationship ever again. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to have any more kids. I'm not doing it because I failed the first time. Why would I have more? I'm not doing it. That's what I told myself.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Then a serious relationship with 3 kids later. But when I met Gina, I was already kind of in the middle of, even though I was in a really dark space and a dark time, and yes, it was a mess in the beginning, to give you kind of context too of why it was such a mess. Yeah. there was some women's around. Of course there was.
Yes, there was.
And you knew there were. And I talked about it on the podcast even before. You said, I know there's other girls, but just let them hoes know when I come around, that's my time.
My time.
And I have never heard a woman say that to me ever in my life.
Like, you're not mine. That's why. I'm here. It's my time, and I'm out. Do whatever the fuck you want
like
to do.
Kind of like one of my favorite songs, the International Players Anthem with Andre 3000's verse on that joint. But yeah, when I met Gina, it was a mess. You know, like I said, I just didn't care, and I was just being insensitive, and I just mainly because it was just a direct reflection on how I felt about myself. But it was the way Gina looked at me the first day we met. It was the way, I don't know, it was just the aura that she had and the way she looked at me that intimidated me, and I ran away.
He didn't run away. I thought something was wrong again.
It was just, if that part of it, it wasn't intimidating in a negative way. It was just, I don't remember ever really being, or, you know, that energy, that flow of energy and being looked at by somebody like that before, because even at the time, even though, yeah, I'm fly, young, handsome, and sexy like a motherfucker.
I know, he's a baby. He's so young.
No, I was 27.
No, you're 26.
27.
He's 26.
That ain't a baby.
That was a baby. I was 30.
You were 29.
I was 29. I was getting ready to turn 30.
So, but yeah, it was just that unspoken language of something that I knew something was there, but I was in such a place at the time. I was in a place of still kind of turning myself around to where I'm not going to waste this woman's time. I'm not trying to be in nothing serious. I'm not looking for it. I just don't want that right now. I don't need it. Mm-hmm. I don't need it, but there was still something about it. And that's why it took me 2 weeks later to talk to you.
Yeah, it did.
Again. Took me over 2 weeks later to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Because I knew there was something to it. But that was the first time that I knew, truly knew, that despite all of my bullshit, and trust me, y'all, I put Gina through a lot of bullshit in the beginning. despite all my bullshit.
And then I got to pay it back.
But despite all the bullshit, she didn't care. The only thing she cared about is the complete opposite of where my fucking dumbass head was at the time. Of me just, I don't care about me like that. Don't worry about me like that. And all she did was worry about me like that and care about that. Mm-hmm. And even like the first few months in was one of the biggest fights we've ever fucking had.
Yeah.
We ever had was a few months in.
Over how you let people treat you. And it, I told you how horrible that was. And you didn't care. So I'm out. You said, get out. I'm out.
Yeah, I told Gina, I said, shit, who you think you talking to in my house? Get the fuck out of my house then. And I, she so did. She said, you? And I said, well, I said, get the fuck out, man.
I said, okay. I don't need to be told twice. Shit.
But little did my dumb ass know, but I did at the same time that she was doing that not to antagonize me. She was doing that because she cared. And I just forgot what, I just forgot the feeling of, or the feeling of just somebody giving a fuck about you.
I know.
On that level, especially, you know, with a woman. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, of course, what we have is totally different than anything I ever had with anybody. You know, that's a fact. And that's why it was a mess in the beginning, and a lot of girls was mad in the beginning. They were mad. Because, you know what? It was different with you. It was different from you. I seen myself, not that I was going to improve and be a better person. I just seen myself being whole with someone and not being afraid of being who you are, even though you're damaged, even though you have flaws. And you also have great qualities, too. Even though you have all these things, man, she fucking with you real hard, real heavy. Something that I didn't experience like I thought I did before you.
Right.
Hell, there was even a relationship when I knew it was the wrong one when this chick's dad offered me $10,000 and a wedding ring to just go run away and get eloped with the girl, only after knowing her for like 4 or 5 months.
Well, you are his dad.
I don't give a fuck. But you know what? I was smart about that. And when I met my ex-wife, we were only together for 4 or 5 months before we got married.
I know.
That was not a good idea. You got to get to know somebody for a long time. Get to know that person, the ins and outs, the ups and downs. Live together for a while.
We did that on the second marriage, and that still didn't work.
Well, you know.
Why I hyperventilated when we were getting married. Well, you know.
But you know you're with the wrong one when, that's a really hard question to answer, but only you can really answer that for yourself and your own experiences in your life. Mm-hmm. The own experiences that you are going through in your life, maybe currently right now, you are the only one who knows if you're truly with the right one or the wrong one. And those decisions become tough, especially if there are kids involved. Mm-hmm. If there's property involved, pets, some people go through it with pets, you know, if there's a lot of investment involved and you still feel like it's the wrong person, or you feel like you have grew apart, or you feel like, you know, the compatibility just isn't there anymore, that can't be fixed, because every relationship takes work. Nothing is magical. Mm-mm. Nothing stays perfect.
Ours is not magical.
No. Hell no.
We bicker, complain.
They hear us every week. And it was kind of funny because one of my best friends said on the phone earlier this week, overhearing us bicker with each other even then, she was like, oh my God, you and Gina need a camera on y'all at all times. You two are hilarious. But relationships do take work, you know, all jokes aside. Mm-hmm. They always take work. Even in the best relationship in the world, it still takes work, because life throws you some shit, man. Your kids throw you some shit, man.
We're still working. Yes. We're still learning this communication thing and learning this opening up thing. And that's still don't open up.
And that's a big part of why I felt like
a solid brick.
And that's a big part of the reason why I thought it was important for us to start this podcast. It's just a communication part too, more than anything. I'm not looking for anything else out of this podcast, but maybe just besides, you know, people being entertained by us, us being a real couple talking about real issues and real shit, and you know, for people to just have fun and maybe take information and a little bit of life advice from us, because we come from experiences, not just talking out our ass about stuff. And maybe applying it and using it and maybe helping somebody out in their life. You know, I'm not looking for anything else out of that, outside of that. Honestly, no. The biggest part of why I enjoy doing this podcast once a week is because we do get to open up and talk about it in a way that other people can kind of share in and maybe do that in their own relationships or in their own household. Now, of course, we talk about a lot of stuff, too, that don't need to be spoken about, but that's relationships. There's certain things you just don't talk about. But for the most part, me and Gina pretty much talk about everything.
Yeah.
You know, but the opening up part is the one thing that you brought up that you and I still struggle with. Now, we talk about it, but the opening up part sometimes is like prying teeth in each other, and sometimes it turns into a little shouting match, not a full-fledged, like, argument, screaming, shouting, though.
We don't argue.
We don't really argue. No, there's only a handful of times where we really argue.
I mean, I have to tell him to be quiet because his passionate yelling freaks me out.
I get passionate, man. And you think I'm yelling. I'm like, I'm not yelling.
And it sends my panic mode through the roof.
That's
and
because
I'm like,
my
Jesus.
Voice reverberates it through does, the whole and house. And it shakes and gets them
the
panties
neighbors.
Wet.
No, scaring the neighbors. I'm afraid something bad's going to happen.
Neighbors.
I'm just keep it down.
White people better leave me alone, man.
See?
But one of the main points that I do want to come across this particular episode with is if you are or come from similar situations of maybe you having a strange relationship with your children, don't get so hard and down on yourself, especially if you were young and fucked up like I was on trying to figure things out and coming out of a fucked up background. And that's just, I'm not even going to dive into my parents' relationship and how that shit was crazy in the house. Now, I was fortunate enough to still have both my parents around off and on whenever my dad wasn't kicked out. But I was fortunate enough to have them both, even though things were really fucked up between them too, because they were really young when they had me. They were also kids. So that's the examples I also had growing up, was watching how they handled things. And I didn't know how to really handle things the best, and I didn't always handle things the best. And there's going to be times in my life where I still won't handle things the absolute best, but I will do the best I can. I will try the best I can each and every day. And quite honestly, I think I've turned out pretty well despite all the things that could have sent me over the edge, and I could have been somebody totally different, but trust me. So if you're out there dealing with these types of feelings and having to live with that pain and that particular struggle every day, don't let it beat you down. Don't let it beat you down. Don't let it send you into a depression to where, you know, it's too late to recover from. And this is where, you know, I tried and I still probably could have did better with opening up to other people outside of, you know, me, knowing that they may not understand every single aspect of what I'm going through. But the people that I did are the ones that are still around and that are still real good friends in my life. So I appreciate you guys. And you know who I'm talking to. You know exactly who I'm talking to. And a lot of things changed too when I got with Gina, because in the beginning, yeah, even though things were a mess and, you know, she didn't give up on me. She didn't give up on me. Now, I put her through some situations where there was time she was ready to give up on me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you know what? That's a relationship sometimes. That's what happens. She was ready to give up on me in certain instances, and vice versa. It's happened a few times between both of us. But we worked through it, and we love each other too much, and we figured it out, and we keep on trucking along. We keep on trucking along.
Yeah.
So, did you have any questions on maybe? Because I know I grilled you to death last episode. Because questions were just popping up in my head at the time, and I just felt like if I didn't ask them, I would forget.
Right.
And also to just kind of keep a narrative going, too, for the listeners.
I think you covered everything.
You think I covered everything?
Right. You got this.
But yeah, just don't let it beat you down. Do the best you can. And, you know, it's not easy to talk about, because that's one thing this is the first time publicly I've really actually talked about the fact that, you know, I don't have my son in my life anymore because of fucked up circumstances that I not only put myself through, but I also allowed them to happen. I talk about mm-hmm. the self-accountability. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to speak on behalf of the other party involved. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak about me.
Can I?
No. No, because you know yeah. what? I mean, it's no reason for anything else outside of my own self-accountability and the things that I talk about to be said. That's what I feel like. At least on record.
Mm-hmm.
Is all I'm saying. So, do yeah. the best you can, y'all. Do the best you can. Life is tough as it is. 2020 has definitely been a rough one for everybody, and it's mm-hmm. going to continue to get even rougher, unfortunately, the rest of this year. So, hold your head. Do the best you can.
Meditate.
Yep. Do the best you can.
Keep grounded.
Mm-hmm. Seek out something positive, like I've talked about even earlier this year. You know, if there's something that you've always wanted to pursue, something that you've always wanted to try or do it. Go for it. Have fun doing it. Find something that you will have fun doing. Even if people think it's a weird sex fetish or whatever the fuck it may be. A lot of people are into some weird things out there to make them happy. And if you find somebody that's cool with it too, go ahead and have a blast.
Right.
No, but that's just jokes. But yeah, find something that, you know, brings some positivity in your life. Brings some light into your life. At least, maybe, even if it's something that brings at least one smile on your face a day.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just one. It always starts with one. Just get you one smile a day.
Go out and breathe some fresh air. Well, there's some, no, fresh air lately.
Not in Kansas right now. But
definitely get some colt's foot, some mullein, make a tea. That'll help those lungs out there.
Here comes her earthy yes. side. Here comes the earthy girl.
I'm just serious.
Yeah.
Those wildfires, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough year for everybody. You know, continue to hold your head. Continue to realize that you're not alone, doesn't even matter how crazy of a scenario or life you come from.
Mm-hmm.
There's always people out there that'll not only relate, but not judge you for it because they understand it and they lived it one way or another, too. Others that do, fuck them.
Yeah.
They haven't spent a single day in your shoes, so fuck them.
Fuck them.
And continue to do you and continue to improve yourself as a person, because that's all you can do if you come from some pretty messed up past or messed up decisions or things that you've done. That's all you could do is continue to improve and be a better person because of it. And that's all I'm about. It's just mm-hmm. being a better man every day. Every day.
That's what we got to do every
yep.
day. Be a better man.
Well, you just be a woman. Stay a woman, honey. I'm kidding.
Because
me and Gina, I always get on to her all the time because I've said it on the podcast before. New listeners that might be listening right now. We both can't be the dude in the relationship.
Sure.
Now, we can when you want to point out a woman that has nice tits or... Did you see the ass on that girl?
I did.
Why Coyote Ugly sucks. I wanted to see some hot bitches.
But I totally thought that place was like the movies, and I was so excited to go. I was like, oh, this is going to be so much fucking fun.
I'm so glad.
I had my camera out and everything. And all of a sudden, here comes all these fat chicks. And I get up on the bar and I'm like, what?
Man.
This is not
a knock against big girls.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I was just expecting something completely different.
Hollywood.
Right? I was expecting Hollywood. I really was. I didn't get Hollywood. Yeah.
Look, I'm so glad I'm
not. I still videotaped you, though, because it was awesome. It was really awesome.
I'm so glad I'm not with a jealous woman. I'm so glad.
Totally didn't get it.
Matter of fact, that particular trip, the hottest chick we saw was at the hotel bar.
I was our bartender. She was so pretty.
I like the bun.
She had some awesome boobs.
Her tits they were great.
She said she
you wanted to take them home.
I did.
And I said we could work that out.
Who was your doctor?
We could bring the whole girl home. At least she was cool too. She just laughed.
So nice.
She's like, yeah, I know my tits are fabulous.
They are. Jeez.
And you were like, can I touch them? I was like, yeah, I'll watch that. All right. Another shot, please. Might leave the hotel key room down. Oh, shit. Well, we appreciate everybody that listens to our podcast each and every week and taking the time out to check us out. You can check us out on our social medias at Interracial Odd Couple Podcast on Instagram. That's an underscore between each word. On Facebook, it is what it is. On Twitter, we are at ILC Podcast. We don't really post too much on Twitter. And matter of fact, I do appreciate all the new followers and new listeners that we do get each and every week. It's been awesome. But I am so sick of us getting followed on Twitter by these interracial fucking porno sites.
Oh, great. I'm glad I don't get on. You tell me, like, get on. Did you see? I don't want to see that.
No. I'm talking about that's Instagram, not Twitter. Twitter, we've been getting some follows from these interracial. Keep sending them through. But we keep getting followed. Just kidding.
So fucking baffled. Yes or no here?
Look, you're curious now. Now I'm going to check it out and see what's going on.
What the fuck's going on?
I don't know, man. But we've been getting follows from interracial sex pages. Huh. I look real quick. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. And back off. NSFW. What the fuck?
Okay.
Oh, man, it's funny. And you can also email us at interracialoddcouple@gmail.com. Any parting words you want to give everybody before we get out of here, honey?
Yes.
And we will go ahead and go into part three next week.
Okay.
On when do you know you're with the right one? We'll expound on it.
Okay. So, I don't know. I thought we just did. But, okay. So, I want to say happy birthday to my nephew in heaven, Hayden.
Happy birthday, young man.
Yay. I bet he has.
We miss you. We love you.
Sesame Street all up there pounding around.
And telling everybody to
clap.
No, to smack, oh, smack their ass.
Yeah, he likes that. Blowing kisses.
Shit.
Yeah, today's his birthday. So.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Hayden. We miss you, man.
We miss you.
Rest in peace. Rest in heaven.
Yes.
Yep, and the anniversary of my grandmother's death is coming up, too. So, I love you, Grandma. I miss you to death. I wish we could have definitely spent more time together. And I think about you every day as well. So, rest in peace, Grandma. I love you. And hopefully I'll see you one day. See everybody one day. Everybody that I miss and love, man.
Right.
Some of my best friends are passed away, so... But thank you, everybody, for checking us out on another episode of the podcast. And we shall talk to you next week.
Bye.
And there's a reason why I say
what?
Deuces.
Deuces. Oh.